Welcome to Jaguars This Week. Jaguars This Week. Presented by Aetna. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst, Jeff Lagerman. And Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher. Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Barbecue, Wells Fargo, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
Good evening and welcome into the broadcast studios at Everbank Field in Jacksonville for 2 hours of Jaguars football, the National Football League, and hey, anything that's on your mind. This is Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna, only on News Talk 690. Did I do that right? WOKV? Jaguars Radio. All right. From Joe Fortunato, who's here, ladies and gentlemen. Didn't Buscelli sit in that chair last week and say he would be here tonight?
Who's Buscelli?
Yeah, okay, right.
See? Oh, it's the guy with the name on the
It's a short, it's a big fall, it's a short rope. He's not here this evening. He is doing Team Teal. So God bless him in selling tickets. We will be here, though. Jeff is here. John is here. I'm here. Joe is here. Joe always has something to say. He was my co-host last night on the Jack Del Rio show, and I thought you did quite a good job, Joe.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. So phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. Twitter at Jags Voice, at John Osher. Although, do you get it on your phone in case anyone tweets to you?
I can. Yes,
okay,
I can.
Great. All right. So we had, and Logs is just calling.
Call me.
Yep. We need to get a bump made for that.
355-6351.
Well, the bump would be, you know, you can Facebook, you can Twitter, but don't try that crap with Logs. Just call him. 355-NFL1.
Here's the loggy bump.
You see what you get with Joe? It's the way he's all fired up. By the way,
if you're trying to hurt my feelings, it's not working.
Dear God. You know, speaking of smartphones, real quick, just want to throw this out there because it involves everyone in this room. If you do not have the Jaguars free app for your smartphone, get it. Because now, starting tomorrow night, you can listen to the live radio broadcast of the game from your seat through the app on Jaguars.com. Plus, you'll get player rosters and stats, including the opponents, and you'll follow John Osher's in-game blog all on your phone, all at the Jaguars free app, which is pretty darn cool.
So are we going to follow John's blog while we're broadcasting?
You know, I do.
Oh,
I
do
follow
you?
It on my
okay,
iPad.
Good.
Exactly.
So.
Free time on that broadcast.
Well, I look for information in the preseason in particular. I got lots of time, baby. Do you want to come in tomorrow night? You'll see. So that's Jaguars app. And John, by the way, has his phone out, and he's looking for the app right now.
Yeah, I have the app.
What's on your mind tonight this evening, gentlemen?
Just last dress rehearsal prior to what do they call that guy that walks around cutting people? The Turk? The Turk, yeah, before the Turk makes his rounds.
There is a Turk in the locker room this year for the very
Friday,
first time.
Saturday, yeah, Matt Turk. But totally different Turk here, folks, if for those that don't know. The Turk was a nickname applied to the guy who used to go around and tell players, hey, coach wants to see you, bring your playbook. You know, which wasn't a good sign around cut day. You know, meant that you were – you weren't for long,
right?
And you were going to get shipped out, and so that was the nickname that kind of stuck. And I don't know who does that for the Jaguars now.
Is it Chris?
I don't know. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know, but I mean, there's always a Turk, and it could be multiple Turks.
Hunting.
He should wear like what was that? The whole cloak, you know, with the hood,
the Grim Reaper,
and carry a sickle. Yeah. Yeah, you should dress like the Grim Reaper.
All right, you want to play Turk tonight? I mean, maybe not names, but you want to talk about the roster?
Yeah, we can do that.
I mean, because let's be honest, you can probably cut it to 53, can't you, Osh?
Pretty close. Pretty
Logs?
Close.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm pretty close.
All right. And
you know.
How many of the 8 practice squad players do you think you know?
I mean, probably 4 or 5. You know, what they like to do is usually kind of use 3 – sometimes more spots to really look at guys that were elsewhere. And so they kind of know what they've got. They can always bring their guys back. You know, so my guess is that 4 or 5, maybe 6 guys from this roster would go to practice squad, and the rest would probably come from somewhere else.
All right.
You know, because you want to get a look at as many guys as possible on your practice squad. And I think Gene Smith has done a very good job of using that tool to really evaluate and go get talent elsewhere, because that's what you got to do. You have to use the practice squad to evaluate guys.
All right. So, I mean, obviously, the quarterback, you're going to have three. You're going to have David Garrard. You're going to have Blaine Gabbert. You're going to have Luke McCown. So that's a no-brainer. That's easy to do.
Well, I want to say this with a little note. I don't think anything's set in stone, even a quarterback position. And I don't know anything, but I'm just saying I don't. You never know.
Yesterday,
I think it's going to be three.
Yeah,
but it wouldn't surprise me that it would not be.
All right. Well, let's put it this way then. It's two of these three. If it's two,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, I don't think it's going to be two. I think it's going to be all three.
I do too.
But you never know. I mean, you know, crazy things have happened at the quarterback position around here in the last week of cuts.
So there you go, folks. You know, but you think, wait, you think you know, but you don't.
But you just don't know.
You weren't there then, were you?
I was not there.
Okay.
No, that was actually
annoying. But you saw it. I mean, and what was your reaction?
To
Byron Leftwich getting released and David Garrard being named the starter.
You know, everybody was stunned. And, being in Indianapolis, we had, you know, we followed what happened with the Jags. And that was, that was a stunner. I mean, that was maybe as stunning as any quarterback switch at that point in the season in the league in a long time.
Although, come on, Logs. I mean, Vic was calling it the week before. I mean, it wasn't completely foreign to us. We had heard this in the days leading up to the trip to Green Bay.
Yeah, but, you know, half the thing that comes out of Vic's mouth, you kind of just go, whatever. You know, and my reaction to his comments were kind of the same, so I didn't think anything to that.
I kind of heard that buzz going around that week, so and I have not heard that buzz going around here.
No.
I just haven't. And
but, you know, there used to be a buzz around here, you know, for those kind of things. You don't hear a buzz anymore.
Gene's tightened it up for sure.
Oh, yeah. You don't hear in bits and pieces of information get out like that anymore.
Right. And well, that's good.
That is a good thing.
It's not good for us, but it's a good thing for the team.
Absolutely.
All right. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. You know what? We're about due for a break. Let's go ahead and take the break early, and then we'll come back and dive into the roster. 355-NFL-1, you got the number, folks. Dial it up. Jaguars this week presented by Aetna, only here on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back to Jaguars this week on a nice Wednesday evening here in Jacksonville. And I should tell you guys that I think it surprised some people. I came out and said that the Jaguars should make Gabbert their starting quarterback. And I listed a number of reasons why I believe that. So just full disclosure there, because I don't think it's going to happen. I don't see it happening. But I see Sam Bradford coming in, and I see this. Pardon my reach, I want to grab it. I see this. The number of rookie quarterbacks and the performances they had and what Gabbert was able to do. But when that last break, we ran out of time. So I don't think it's going to happen. I don't see it happening. I don't feel that buzz, Logs, that we talked about in 06 around here. But, boy, based on what Sam Bradford did, that's the route I would favor.
Well,
I don't think it's going to happen.
What you're referring to is the numbers. And he set some NFL records for attempts, for completions. I don't think completion percentage. He was second all-time in NFL history for yards in a season, slightly below what Peyton did in 98.
Second to touchdowns.
You know, so, I mean, yeah.
The thing, though. He went from six more wins is what they did with a team that isn't as talented as this one.
Well, I don't like to say it was six more wins. I like to say that they won one before he got there, and they won seven.
Okay.
The second year, just because, I mean, they won one game for crying out loud.
They won three in the 2 years before.
And the first year was Spagnuolo. But so, and you got to remember, too, that he was a quarterback that had all of the OTAs, that had all of the playbook and explained to him for months ahead of the regular season opener. So we're dealing with a completely different set of circumstances.
Which is why I don't think it's going to happen.
That's the biggest thing that. You know, I get a lot of emails about this every day. Obviously, it's still the hot button topic and will continue to be.
You bet.
And that's the biggest thing that's different that people don't want to see. Because once the lockout ended, the fans sort of forgot there was a lockout in terms of issues like this. But there's no question that 3 or 4 months that he didn't have, I think, is a big reason why it's played out the way it has.
There's two schools of thought. One says go with the guy that gives you the greater chance to win today. One says go with the guy who is going to be your long-term future, because there's no doubt. And I just went on record and I say my choice would be to go with him, put him in there, and go. But I don't see it happening
somebody
for that very reason.
Somebody asked me today, what template do you follow? And I thought about that question a long time. And I think the reality is in the NFL, there's really not a template. You have to look at the guy you've got. You have to look at where he is in the development, and you have to make a decision based on that. There's not X formula always works, Y formula always works right over here. And, you know, I think the Jaguars have looked at this and said, you know what, Blaine's not quite ready to be in there yet. The thing we don't know is it definite that it won't be this season? I think it's going to be a story developing, possibly weekly.
Now, Gene Smith and I had this conversation when he was in here a couple of hours ago taping his pregame radio show. And one of the things that he reminded me was that Blaine hasn't even gotten half the snaps with the first team on the practice field. So, I mean, they've got lots of reasons they'll make their decision, you know. And he wasn't tipping his hand either way. He was just, you know, fuel for the fire. Because I said, Gene, this is what I believe, and this is what I said on the air. Wanted to get your thoughts on it and see where you might correct it. And we had a really intelligent conversation about the pros and cons and what the Rams put out with all of their numbers. It's just, hey, look, we do a radio show here. People are enamored with the quarterback in markets league-wide. It's never going to go away. And so that's why I came out and said it. So there we go. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. So the quarterbacks are what they are. Logs, thoughts on the running backs? Does it stay essentially the same? Of course, the injury to Rashad Jennings changes that.
Yeah, and that to me is an unknown because, you know, preseason you don't get the injury information. So you have no idea how long that Rashad Jennings is going to be out. But with his injury comes more concern because you still haven't seen Maurice Jones-Drew in live action. So at what point of the rehab is he recovered from? How long is Rashad Jennings going to be out? If Rashad is going to be out for some period of time and there is any type of concern whatsoever with Maurice Jones-Drew's knee, then I would have to think that that would possibly and more than likely should change the numbers at running back. Because right now, if you look at it, you've got some young guys kind of behind Maurice. You got obviously Rashad, and then you got Deji, but then when you get behind them, you got Richard Murphy, DeJuan Harrison, Albert Young. Obviously, Brock Bolin can carry the ball if need be. So can Montel. But do you really want them carrying the ball? Probably not. You know, and DeJuan Harris has showed some nice flashes, but
he put the ball on the ground.
Ball's
Buffalo.
Been on the ground twice in the last 2 weeks. He doesn't look particularly strong in protection. Whereas Richard Murphy's kind of fluid. A little bit bigger back, I think, has done a pretty good job in protection. You know, so that's an interesting formula, you know, and how the other positions kind of all, you know, the biggest thing is really I think you got to look at numbers at each position group and kind of assign some numbers to each position group and say, okay, what's the formula going to be for this team this year? And the personnel is going to decide that. You know, so wide receiver group, you know, I mean, I think you start with them just because it'll give you an idea of what numbers you can have with the rest of the positions. You know, and I think wide receiver is going to be plain and simple five. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's even going to be six for even a small percentage chance. I think at five is pretty much where it's going to be.
Thomas, Hill, Shorts, Dillard, Osgood.
That's it.
And then you've got Newsom, Bins, and Inman practice squad guys.
Yeah, and I think all three of those guys, you could make a case for being on practice squad. Newsom has been very good on special teams. He's got a lot of energy when he plays the game. Hasn't had a lot of chances catching the ball. Inman has had limited exposure. He was hurt for a while. He had the drop last week.
But he does have a 28 and a 22-yard catch.
I mean, not Inman. Bins had the drop and has had limited exposure, whereas Inman has been fairly consistent. So, I mean, all three of those guys, I think they like. But, you know, you can't have three wide receivers on practice squad, so you're going to make a decision there.
Let me ask you this, Jeff. I get a lot of questions about Jared Dillard, and I've sort of tried to watch for Jared Dillard, and I haven't really seen anything to watch. Is he a dead solid lock?
I think so, just okay. Because, to me, he runs really good routes. He catches the ball very well. Not a great special teams player, but, you know, can play some. You know, I think he's going to make it. He's one of those guys that, you know, you just want to see him develop a little more. You know, he looked so good his rookie year, then he got hurt, and then he was on IR last year. You know, he's a guy that showed you promise in the past. He's been pretty consistent in preseason. And, you know, I think it's been very hard to evaluate the wide receiver group. And the reason I say that is because, you know, there's been a lot of people that have said to me, why don't they go get a wide receiver? It's just not the way, it's not the way they play offense. I mean, that's not a really highly demanded position the way that they're going to play offense with David at quarterback. You know, this is a run-the-football offense that's going to use play action and passing as a complement to the running game. And when you run that type of offense, you don't need to go out and take a big risk at a guy at wide receiver. It wouldn't make sense to me. Now, if you had a young quarterback and he's established himself with having a pretty good arm, then, yeah, I mean, you might want to do that. But the wide receiver group, for the most part, hasn't been easy to evaluate. I mean, if you look at the preseason, you had Blaine making his first start ever in New England. Then you had Todd Bowman playing the second half and threw 10 passes, and all you were looking to do at that point was really to end the game, hand the ball off. Against Atlanta, the quarterback's got no protection, so you really didn't get a look at the wide receivers. And then in Buffalo, you had basically a second-half four-minute drill to where you really weren't trying to throw the ball a ton. So it's been somewhat difficult to really get an accurate gauge with the wide receivers in preseason games, and a lot of that evaluation, I believe, has occurred in practice.
355-NFL-1. Let's grab Bob, who joins us from the beach. Hello, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. I was basically had an idea of, since we had so many or not enough wide receivers or really quality wide receivers, see if the Jaguars might think about putting Rasheen out there at wide receiver for a couple snaps, just in big play situations, and I guaranteed he'd be able to beat a couple dudes here and there and catch a few balls.
You know, I got to disagree with the sentiment that you don't have quality wide receivers. You don't have the big name, but you got some quality guys.
You know, Rasheed needs to focus in on corner and playing corner,
not getting beat over the top.
You know, the performance that he had in Buffalo, I thought wasn't bad. The only play I didn't like was the deep ball. That Rasheed looked like he didn't have that gear to really close the gap. I thought the other completions around Rasheen, I thought, were outstanding throws and catches. I mean, you got to credit the opponent sometimes.
He was on a laser that
night. But putting Rasheen at wide receiver, to me, I mean, no.
Why?
I mean, come on. I mean, is he going to run by somebody faster than Mike Thomas, catch better than Mike Thomas, run faster than Jason Hill down the field? No. I mean, playing a position in the NFL is truly a craft, and you have to hone a craft over time, and you can't expect a cornerback just to step in. Rasheen is not Deion Sanders. And if you go back and you look at maybe the greatest athlete to ever play in professional football, Deion Sanders, you could look back at his role as a wide receiver and go, it wasn't that good.
Right. It's just not something you do unless you're talking an elite-level athlete, where you think it's just going to be some dynamic play, and it's really a gimmick. And this team really doesn't need gimmicks right now.
I'm trying to think of the last one that did it successfully, and the last one was a linebacker playing tight end.
Yeah.
In New England.
That's it. That's it. That's the only guy. And is he's coaching at Ohio State now, isn't he?
He just retired. Why can't I think of his name?
Ohio State kid.
Yeah, Mike Vrabel. Right, exactly. Yeah, he retired this year. So he is off and running doing something else. It doesn't make sense. Not at this level. But we appreciate the call, Bob. 355-NFL-1. And again, I want to disagree with his assertion, and that is the Jaguars have a lack of quality receivers. I think they've got some quality guys, just not star players.
You know, the biggest thing for everybody is,
Cecil Short's pretty good.
Let's not overreact to anything in the preseason, you know, because I think we've seen quite a bit of that in the last couple weeks, and that, you know, you played against New England and didn't do all that well, and people were like, play against the Atlanta Falcons, and they kind of went the other end. Oh, that was great. They're going to get 50 sacks this year. Boy, they really pressured Matt Ryan. And then they go and play Buffalo, which is not a very good football team, and didn't play very well. And they're like, oh, the pass rush is terrible. Our wide receivers are terrible. Let's not overreact.
All right, folks. We have hit the bottom of the hour, which means it is time for news. And we'll be back with 90 more minutes of Jaguars This Week right here on Jaguars. All right, rolling right along here. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna on News Talk WOKV. Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, John Osher, and Joe Fortunato piping in from time to time. Grab a couple calls here. We've got Michael in Atlantic Beach. Hello, Michael. Welcome to the show.
Hey, well, thanks for having me on again. One statement I had to make is Jack Del Rio on his show last night did mention that Jennings probably would not start the regular season.
No, he won't.
So they're going to have to find, Jaguars are going to have to find a way. He mentioned two players last night. I don't remember what the two players were.
Richard Murphy and DeJuan Harris.
Yeah, those are the main players that the Jaguars are going to have to really depend on in the beginning of the season as far as receiving. Another thing about the Jaguars is kind of bothering me, though, that I think you guys are kind of overlooking these preseason games. Because one thing about the Jaguars, and there was a statement made, and I believe it was by Jennings, he said that the preseason games didn't really matter. And I really think the Jaguars need to look at all the games. They should look at it as an attitude with the team that they're going in to play the Super Bowl every game that they play. And they should have an attitude like that as an entire team. And also in the last game at the Buffalo Bills, Maurice Jones, he did a little pep talk at the end of that game, and he was a little bit upset saying that they didn't play like the team and he didn't feel like they were playing at their best as well. I mean, even in a preseason game, to drop 17 points, and I mean, it just didn't really look really good for the Jaguars in doing that when you're 17 points ahead going into the third quarter.
Michael, I'm gonna interrupt your speech here. First and foremost, when you talk about running back, you're saying that two young players are going to have to catch the ball for the Jaguars. Last time I checked, Maurice catches the ball pretty doggone good, and Deji Krim is a fantastic receiver out of the backfield. So they're not going to have to count on a young player necessarily to carry the load, not when you have a Greg Jones, a Montel Owens, a Brock Bolin, a Deji Krim. And if you have to have a young player playing in that role, he's not going to be the guy. So he doesn't have to be counted on early in the season. Your assertion that you treat every preseason game like it were the Super Bowl. Well, if every game in the preseason were treated like the Super Bowl, then there would be game planning involved where the Jaguars would match up their nickel personnel with a three wide receiver set. And when an opponent goes to regular personnel, they may end up matching up with regular personnel. That's not always the case.
You might see a blitz every now and then, too.
You can sit there and look at how coaches approach the preseason, and you'll have defensive coordinators that will match up with three or four wide receiver sets with base personnel. So you can't sit there and say, I can't believe they don't treat the preseason like it's a Super Bowl. How can you treat it like a Super Bowl when they're not even running out full packages? I mean, it just doesn't happen. So when you evaluate the preseason, you really have to evaluate it from an individual standpoint, because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to evaluate the roster, evaluate how guys react in certain situations. It's not about evaluating the end result of a game. Now, if you're evaluating individual performance and it's not that good, then you can say, yeah, that wasn't good. But you can't look at it from a score perspective in the preseason. And I know that's hard to do, because sometimes it's hard to evaluate from that perspective, but that's the way you have to approach it.
Appreciate the call, Michael. We go long. Don joins us from the north side with some thoughts on the preseason as well. Don, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I have just a very quick opinion on that point. And my point of view on that whole subject is that when your number ones are up against their twos and threes, and your number ones simply can't stand up to them, your team is better be something happened to it, because you might be in trouble. Now, the question that I have is for Jeff. Jeff, you were talking about the receivers and that we're a running team. With Gabbert in as quarterback, do you think that's going to still hold true? You can develop that any way you want, but that really made me think, because I thought with Gabbert coming in, we'd become more of a passing team. What do you think about that?
Eventually, they will become more of a passing team when the quarterback allows them to do that. David Garrard has not allowed you to come out and be a pass-first option. It's just that's the fact. And I don't think anybody would tell you otherwise if they were being completely honest. I mean, David is a manager of a game. He's not going to come out and throw the ball 40 times and a half like Drew Brees did in a preseason game and hurt an opponent. That's just, it's not his style. David is a mobile quarterback that can run play action off of a very good running attack. And that's the way that they have to function.
Simple and easy. That's the way that they went to the playoffs
bring
in 2007.
Bring Dom back up.
Good defense, ran the ball, and David made big throws when he had to, not every play.
You still there, Don?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, I am.
Okay, you got any other thoughts?
No. I thank you very much. So as I, again, you know, everybody translates everything. What you're saying is that as he develops, we're going to see the team going more and more in the direction of passing.
You have to be. You have to be. That's what the league is. That's the way the rules are.
I've heard you say many times, and that was the reason I asked that question.
Yep.
Well, and I think you saw that.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
All right, thank you, Don.
With the drafting of Cecil Shorts this year along with it, that's the first step toward improving the wide receiver core. Is he necessarily a one down the road? I'm not sure. But he definitely looks like a guy who's going to be a contributing guy over the next 3 or 4 years. I would be very surprised if they don't address wide receiver early in the draft next year. Now, I know it's a best available player, but I've got to think that's a huge priority as you go forward with Blaine.
Absolutely. I mean, they tried a couple years ago, didn't work. You know, and to be honest with you, when it didn't work and they went out and they signed a Joey
Jerry Porter.
Jerry Porter.
It didn't work again.
Didn't work again.
to a ridiculous degree.
You know, and that was the old regime. It didn't work. And with the new regime, so far everything that I've seen have worked out. Hopefully, in the future, they will become more of that because if you look at the upper echelon teams in the league, they all throw the ball and they throw it well. It's a quarterback league now. That's why a Michael Vick gets 100, well, not quite 100 million, but I mean, you know, in the ballpark of a $100 million contract. That's why Peyton Manning is making $20 million a year. I mean, that's the impact that a quarterback can make on the game of football.
And it's why the Jaguars moved up to get their guy. They needed a quarterback in order to compete in this game.
But to your point, Jeff, you can't do it overnight. You can't all of a sudden go from being a running team last year. You bring in Blaine Gabbert, you know, who obviously to start the season is not going to play, and then all of a sudden sign 3 free agent wide receivers and force that. That's exactly the sort of thing that I think some fans want to see, but it's exactly the thing that gets franchises in a lot of trouble over the long term.
Yeah, I look at what the New York Jets have done since they've drafted Mark Sanchez. Sure, they drafted Mark Sanchez really high because they thought he was going to be a franchise quarterback. Has Mark Sanchez really showed them that he's going to be a pass-first franchise-type quarterback? No. No, they've known they've had to play good defense. They've had to run the football. And they put a ton of wide receivers around Mark Sanchez. But Mark Sanchez, has he really become an elite quarterback? No.
Not elite, but he's been good.
No, he's been okay. You could make the argument that he's been below average in the regular season. In the postseason, his numbers get better. But he is certainly not an above-average quarterback yet at this point.
He's been a young kid managing games so far.
That's all he is.
As best he can.
You could say Mark Sanchez and David Garrard right now are about the same type of quarterbacks in the league.
I'd say they're pretty similar.
And if you look at the Jets, and I don't know exactly where they ranked, but I guarantee if you looked at the numbers between the Jets and the Jaguars last year, and compared the numbers of Garrard and Sanchez and the Jets' offense to the Jaguars' offense, with the exception of maybe points scored, they would be very similar to look at. And the Jets had Santonio Holmes. They spent a ton of money on him. Braylon Edwards, Cotchery, but did it really pay dividends to them? I mean, yeah, they advanced in the playoffs, but the biggest reason they advanced in the playoffs was to play their defense. And the Jaguars have addressed the defense in the offseason, and I think that they're going to be a good defense.
You use free agency in this day and age to fill glaring holes. People desperately wanted them to sign a wide receiver because they perceived it as being a glaring hole in this team, and the Jaguars don't look at their wide receivers as being an area of drastic need right now. Now, a lot of people feel differently, but that's how this team's approaching it.
Well, it's run the ball. Mm-hmm. And play great defense, which is what won in 07.
Name recognition is a beautiful thing when it comes to, oh, the boy, they're really trying to get better at that position. the Jaguars are trying to get better at that position from within, and they're trying to develop guys. Just much like what the Jaguars did early on when you had Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardell. These weren't highly sought after free agents. They were other people's trash, and they tried to develop them, and the guys developed. I'm not saying that any of these guys are going to become Jimmy or Keenan, because you just don't know. But you got to give them a chance, and they believe that these guys can develop into more than capable wide receivers, and we'll find out. You know, the real grades start flying around September 11th.
How much do you expect to see Cecil Shorts early on? Is it going to be the third receiver, or is it going to be the second?
I think that as long as he plays well this week, the way he has worked throughout the preseason, I would expect him to be number three.
I mean, I'm going to guess that he is a David Garrard kind of receiver, meaning he's not that field stretcher kind of guy, but he's the guy who runs the slants and the curls and, you know, is there every time David needs him.
Well, I think the throw against Atlanta, I think, said a lot, where David had pressure and he just threw the ball to the outside towards the Falcons sideline, and it was right on the money, and Cecil Shorts was right where he needed to be. He's not a David Garrard type of wide receiver. He's a quarterback type of wide receiver.
Right.
And he's a guy that's going to be dependable. He works hard. He studies hard. He really, coming from a small program, is as polished as a wide receiver that you could ever expect. And if you look at another guy that came from that same program, Mount Union, Pierre Garçon, who came to the National Football League unpolished, whereas Cecil Shorts is very polished. I think the big difference is that Pierre Garçon has tremendous deep speed, mm-hmm. and Cecil Shorts doesn't quite have that level of speed, but he's got good speed.
Cecil has significantly better hands than Pierre as well.
Absolutely.
Without question. And I would still be surprised if Cecil's not starting by the end of the season.
All right, folks, we need a quick break. We will come back. More Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on News Talk WOKV. Depend on it. All right, rolling right along here. We'll go till straight up 7 o'clock and then a break for news on News Talk WOKV. Jaguars This Week every Wednesday, 2 hours. Jeff Loggeman, John Osher, Tony Baselli. Baselli is not here this evening. We'll just keep rolling right along. Let's grab Rick in Fernandina next on Jaguars This Week. Hello, Rick.
Well, thank you, Brian, for taking my call. Logs, oh, man, it's good to hear you all today. I'm really kind of surprised that a lot of the fans are having a hard time understanding that it's only into the third year of rebuilding, of going towards building a team that is going to be consistent year after year after year. You can't expect them to be where some folks want them. The Madden controller doesn't work that way. But the fact is that we have addressed the defense. We have gotten wide receivers. We are building from within, and we're doing the same way that the Packers, the same way that the Patriots, the same way that the Giants, the same way that the dynastic teams in this league have done. It's going to take a little while, but the fact is that we are going to reap rewards out of this that is going to be far beyond anyone's wildest dreams. The team that is going to be on the back half of this season is going to surprise everyone from what they are panicking about and getting ready to jump off the Modus building on the first half. Thank you for taking my call, gentlemen, and have a great day.
Thank you, Rick.
Well, we're not even at the first half yet. We're in the preseason.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I'm not saying there aren't, you know, there haven't been issues to arise during the preseason, but, you know, you just can't judge a team on what's happened in three preseason games.
You know, you can't judge it on preseason. It's very difficult. I didn't like what I saw in Buffalo. I didn't like the fact that, you know, even though Buffalo had their ones, and, yeah, the Jaguars were missing a number of guys, I'd like to see some of those backup guys that are going to see playing time this year play at a higher level than what they did against a team that I view is not very good in Buffalo. You know, so I wanted to see more too. But I like the fact that they were able to bounce back. You're going to have games like that anyway. And so I'd like to see how they did bounce back, how they did recover. Didn't like the fact that they gave up a 15-point lead at the end, and then when Blaine Gabbert was in the second half, he had six possessions in that second half, and he scored the one touchdown But, boy, I mean, the four-minute drill right there, you know, he has the interception. Dewan Harris puts the ball on his ground. You'd like to see a little bit more productivity out of Blaine and that offense there in the second half.
I think the people, no offense to you, Brian, I think the people who are rushing to put Blaine in the lineup right now seem to be a lot of the same people who are saying, well, the Jaguars are going to be terrible this year. You may as well just go ahead and get the kid in there and get ready. The bottom line is this team is not preparing for this season as if they went 1-15 last year.
Right.
They're preparing for this season as if this is a playoff contending team, and they clearly feel the veteran quarterback is the guy to go with at least early.
And I said I understand that.
Right.
I do. And I do not say, and I don't believe that this is a terrible team, and by going you are foregoing the playoffs. Not at all, because you can look at a team that really wasn't all that good in Atlanta.
Correct.
In 2007, and they plug in Matt Ryan, and everything gets better. Now, they added Michael Turner, too.
Right.
So, you know, my opinion is just my opinion, and I understand why they would go with Dave.
I still think we go back to the whole thing we talked about earlier. If there had been an entire offseason, I think we're talking about a drastically different dynamic.
You bet.
Then it would have been a hot debate.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, obviously, the lack of an offseason is the major factor.
In order to have that debate, there's only one person that can create that debate, and that's Blaine Gabbert's
sure.
play. You know, and I know we've got Jim here from Ponte Vedra. Go ahead and bring Jim up because, Jim, I think we're addressing the topic that you may want to talk about, and that's the timetable for Blaine Gabbert and when he will play. Is that right?
Yeah, yes, that's right. Thank you, Jeff. I listen to you guys all the time, and I listen read John's column every day. I'm sorry if I'm nervous. How long, David, according to what I think it has been consistent over the past 2 years, how long do we wait into the season before we say, okay, David, time to sit down, Blaine in? I want your opinions on that. And I'm going to take you off the air, but it's on radio, okay?
All right, thank you, Jim. You know, that's why because you were kind of talking
right.
in that direction, and I was going to kind of answer in that direction. So go ahead and get Jim up. There's only one person, really two people, that are going to have any say about a timetable, and that's David and that's Blaine. How does David play in the regular season? How does Blaine progress during the regular season, which is very difficult for a backup or a third quarterback, whichever he may be, to progress and to advance during the regular season because of the limited number of snaps that they're going to get and exposure to the offense. They're going to be running scout team stuff.
Right.
You have to prepare your starter to get ready to play. So two people will decide that. And then the coaches have to see how they perform in practice and in the games to make that determination. Those two will determine it.
And the most likely scenario is quarterbacks in this league, with rare exceptions, often do not go the entire season uninjured. So, you know, there is a scenario where, you know, if David can't go 1 week, then all of a sudden you see Blaine that week.
Maybe.
Or,
maybe not.
Or
maybe
Luke
will count.
And it's the $1 million question. You know, and I think something I alluded to earlier, you just don't – there is no template. There's no way yet to know what the timetable is going to be.
No,
it's going to depend on how Blaine is looking in his few reps, how they feel like he's grasping the offense, and how David's playing.
There's no template, but here's the reality. Blaine Gabbert just turned 21 years old. He came out as a true junior, played in a spread offense in college. Don't you think we ought to give him some time?
He's been here a month.
To develop? I mean, what's the best scenario for a quarterback who has those characteristics?
Time. Right.
Let him learn. Let him get a full off season. Let him sit back in his first rookie year and let him watch. Let him learn. Let him sit in the meetings. Let him learn about NFL defenses. Let him learn the offense. That is the best remedy for him in the future.
Right. And
to sit back and learn.
I covered Peyton for 10 years, and he played immediately, but I do wonder what Peyton would say if you were presented the scenario, if you had had no off season and very limited time to prepare, would it have still been the ideal situation for you to play?
And,
I'm sure
and,
he'd say yes in retrospect,
and Peyton
but it's a different situation.
Peyton ran a different offense at Tennessee.
The right. no off season is the great leveling
sure.
factor here. So we take a break and come back after news on News Talk WOKV. Depend on it. All right, welcome back. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. Brian Sexton, John Osher, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato, and Kevin, who's up the road in Savannah. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Brian. You're probably not going to like this very much, but I want to tell you guys, I listen to all of the radio broadcasts of the games, and because I like to hear what the really diehard Jaguar fans are hearing from you and Jeff, and you really do a good job with the games. But I really feel yesterday what you had to say near the end of the show, the pre-recorded message or whatever, I don't think the Jack Del Rio was the right place to air your opinion at that time.
So now you're a program director.
No, I'm just giving you my opinion like you gave your opinion.
Well, but this isn't your opinion show. That's my show. When the coach isn't
Jack Del Rio show.
When he's not there and I have to fill time, it's my show.
Well, what I'd like to say is we have now we have another year of having listened to you talk about David Garr. When he hits a receiver right in the numbers, you talk about how good of a catch it is. And when he overthrows it, how bad he looked at the wrong receiver.
What do you want me to say? When it's good, it's good. When it's bad, it's bad.
Well,
you will
I
only hear, listen,
you...
What you will only hear the truth. When it's good, it's good. When it's not, it's not. My opinion, now listen to me, hold on. My opinion and what I stated is not personal towards David in any way, shape, or form. I just stated my opinion.
Well, your opinion, Brian, does transcend into you calling the game, unfortunately.
No, it doesn't.
Because it does to me, because I hear it all the time.
No, it doesn't. Just going to tell you that right now. David gets a fair shake from me. All I did was state my opinion about the future of where it's headed. He gets a fair shake.
I honestly don't think that you have been giving David a fair shake in the last couple of years.
Give me an example.
So, Well, I mean, like I said, I see him hit a receiver right in the numbers. And
give me an example.
It's a great catch.
Well, Kevin, an example.
I'll give you an example that Jeff gave the other day on a third down and short. Blaine Gabbert threw a little pass at Brock Bolin's feet. And Jeff's description of the pass was a beautiful pass. If it wasn't for Brock Bolin grabbing it off his shoe tops, it wouldn't have been caught. So, I mean, that's just one example, and I kind of...
Who said that, me or him? Wait, who said that, me or... You're saying Jeff. You get on and you start going after me, and now you're saying it's Jeff.
Jeff actually said that, but I
Whoa, hold on, Brian.
Kevin, and also, I remember Jeff also saying during the Leftwich-Garrard battles that David Garrard, this is a quote, could not hold Byron Leftwich's jockstrap at practice. And then David ended up beating him out. That is a quote, Jeff. You said that.
Kevin, any time you want to go ahead and go to your archives and pull up quotes, feel free to call back in and give me those quotes. I'd love to hear them back because I think you're full of it.
Yep. I do, too, because you're throwing things out there that you can't substantiate. And I'm going to tell you right now, David will get a fair shake for every play that he is the quarterback this year. My opinion of where the franchise is headed is in no way, shape, or form personal towards David.
Last time I checked, I don't remember saying that when Blaine Gabbert threw a ball in which Brock Bolin made a spectacular catch, that it was a beautiful throw. I mean, come on, Kevin. Why would I try to offend somebody who has the TV on and the radio on at the same time by trying to change their mind? I mean,
yeah,
Kevin.
Look, Kevin's a little bit mixed up. That's all.
A little reality, Kevin. A little truth sometimes would be good for you.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-NFL. I'll tell you right now, I just stated my opinion, and it does not have anything to do with David as the quarterback. He will get a fair shake, and he always has. Let's grab Scott in Mandarin up next. Scott, what's going on?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Great. Kind of the same point, I guess, it's just the subject of the night. Maybe a lot of the fans, and it might even be sometimes with you guys' personal opinion, it's not a matter of the star, the name power, or having a fantastic quarterback, running back, or any position. It's about trying to get a core team together to play as a team, to do everything well at one moment in time so that this season could be the year that you win it. If this is all about just getting a high-profile player once in a while and a good quarterback, hell, anybody could do it from year to year. It would be easy to do. But it's about getting, you know, all those guys on one page at one time, having a little luck, no injuries, and win the whole shooting match. I mean, if it comes down to the greatest quarterback, if that's what your, you know, forte is and you're all about the long ball and the passing game, who's a better quarterback, Jim McMahon or Dan Marino? Who's got, and who has the Super Bowl ring, though, to show it?
No, I mean, I'm with you.
Okay, and I think that kind of explains it. If a good team with a lot of good players can get together on the same page one year, they can win it. Marino's a fantastic guy, not to take you away, but he didn't have a running game a lot of those years, and things didn't go their way, they didn't win it.
So what you're saying is you think that this team can win the Super Bowl with David Garrard?
I think they could if everything went their way and they gelled. I think they could. Anybody could. Now, come halfway through the season, if they're sitting at 3-5, probably not. But there were probably a lot of people back then that thought Jim McMahon won a Super Bowl. You're crazy as hell.
Well, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl with a fantastic running game and an incredible defense. So your point is well taken. But I don't think anybody's looking at this team this year and saying, this is a Super Bowl contender.
No, no, but I mean, you know what, Brian? If they get their running game rolling like they have done in the past, this defense takes some big steps up. We know the special teams is good. They get hot at the end. Why not?
Well,
you never know.
A great example.
Another example would be John Elway in Denver. He was fantastic for a lot of years, but until he got a running back, he was just a guy that had a lot of highlight reels.
Yeah.
Well, he went to three Super Bowls before they had a running
game. Yeah, he was a little more than that, but, you know,
but
point taken.
Win it. Now, if the whole thing is about what you win, which seems to be the whole old moniker of, you know, qualifying a guy as a superstar, so to speak,
that's how they judge quarterbacks in terms of number of wins.
No, but, I'm just saying. But you
he's
know,
not, he wasn't what? An average. He, what you're suggesting, though, is that he was an average guy until he got a running game and won two Super Bowls, and he was much better than that.
No, I didn't mean that he was average, but he had a lot of highlight reels. He was always throwing the ball on, kind of like Wiener, but he didn't have the rest of the pieces to win the whole thing, which is what everybody's goal is.
You got to have a team. There's no doubt. And I think that's the point you're making, is that you have to have a team, and it's not about one guy. But I will tell you this, you know, the way the league is nowadays, you know, in order to have a really good team, you have to have a really talented quarterback. And I'm not saying that David can't do that, because that's why I brought up the numbers from last year with the Jets and Mark Sanchez comparing that to David Garrard. David Garrard clearly was better than Mark Sanchez last year.
Yes, he was.
The big difference is that the Jets as a team were a better football team. And the Jaguars had some similar components. If they can really kind of make up for the areas that they weren't quite as good, looking at them and comparing them to the Jets, who's to say the Jaguars couldn't get as far as the Jets and farther?
Well, in 07, they got to the divisional playoff round, and they lost in the fourth quarter, due in large part to Matt Jones' inability to pull in a pass from David in the back of the end zone. So they did. They had a good season. What were they, 11-5? But they should have been 12-4, but they put everybody on the sideline in Houston that year. You had Fred and you had Maurice, and they were averaging over 150 yards a game, and the defense was feasting off of that. They were playing very, very well.
Nobody,
so there's a potential that that could happen.
Nobody in the organization doesn't want Blaine to be very, very good very, very soon. It's going to take some time. He eventually will be the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
And
you draft
him. You know, right. So clearly, if he's not starting quarterback at the beginning of the season, it's because they feel like they have a better chance right now of winning with David Garrard. And the idea in the NFL is, if you think you can contend for the division, you put your best team out there until there's somebody else who you think gives you a better chance to win. And it's really as simple. It's really as simple as that.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's grab Dave in St. Augustine Beach. Hello, Dave.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. It's my personal opinion. I think I'm in agreement with Brian, and I think anybody who has the big picture in mind for the Jaguars, that Blaine Gabbert is going to be, I mean, obviously the quarterback of the future, but I think he is basically on par with David Garrard right now. However, I am a fan of David Garrard. I am a supporter of David Garrard. I'm a defender of David Garrard, and as I would be with anyone who was the Jaguars quarterback. And if Jack and if Gene and whoever else might be, you know, if Dirk thinks that David Garrard gives us the best option to win now, then I'm all for that. It is my personal opinion that all David Garrard has to do is limit his mistakes. If he could just manage to limit his mistakes, he would be a highly efficient quarterback, because when he's good, man, David Garrard can be really good. But the downside of that is when he's less than good, well, he's less than good.
See, and that's the thing. You say limit his mistakes, but there's only so much limiting he can do. It's the way he plays. It's the way he is. And he's got a track record that shows it.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, he's going to have games where he is brilliant.
But just because that's his track record, though, Brian, doesn't mean that he can't get more consistent.
Okay.
You know, I never believe that any player is beyond growing and getting better. You know, because you can look in league history, and there have been quarterbacks that have, once they have gotten into a system or with a particular coach, that they have improved their performance. And so, to me, David can get better. I think he can get more consistent. And if he can get consistent, and I'm not saying get consistent and go out there and have 110 quarterback ratings week in and week out, but if he can just eliminate the lows that he had like last year, he is a more than capable quarterback of leading this team into the playoffs.
And maybe he can, except that we saw big games followed by, you know, San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we saw a big game in
That's his number one challenge this year as starting quarterback, is to eliminate those peaks and the valleys.
Well,
if he can do that, it will spell big things for this football team.
And if he can't, then there's no law that says you don't make the switch.
Right.
But the reason I called was to ask about the next milestone is the roster breakdown, and I just wanted to know what you guys thought about the linebacking and the secondary positions, how that's going to shake out. Thanks a lot, guys. Go Jaguars.
All right, Dave. We got a break.
Yeah, let's take a break now.
We'll come back.
All right, more to come. Jaguars this week right after this on News Talk Radio. WOKV, depend on it.
Welcome to Jaguars This Week.
Jaguars This Week.
Presented by Aetna. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, caller analyst Jeff Lagerman, and Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher. Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Barbecue, Wells Fargo, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank.
Jaguars This Week begins right now.
All right, and welcome back. Jaguars This Week rolling along. Obviously, you know, when I made my comments last evening, I knew very well that what it was going to do, that it was going to create a lot of conversation. And by the way, that's what we do in radio, and that is in television and Twitter and Facebook. It's create conversation. Remember, it's the toy department, folks. It always is the toy department. And so none of it is anything less than professional. None of it is personal in any way, shape, or form. Good arguments on both sides. We continue the conversation right now, and let's grab John in Green Cove Springs. John, what's going on? Johnny there. Nope, John has moved along. We appreciate it. Let's grab Robert on the west side next. Hello, Robert. Welcome to the show.
Hello. That's the first-time caller. I'm wondering why that as much as the tickets cost and the concessions and what have you, that making the playoffs or making the Super Bowl is not the major concern every year, instead of worrying about this rebuilding, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, we've had a team since 95 or so, and we've come close a few times. But I'm wondering why it's not the major concern every year. I mean, y'all talk about like it's, oh, we're a little bit better than last year. Oh, well, we're not quite as good as we was the year before. But as much as it costs to go to these games, it should be their primary objective every year.
Robert.
Last time I checked, it was.
It is, but we're being realistic, and we're looking at a team that is closer than they have been. But absolutely, you don't think Gene Smith and Jack Del Rio and their staff, what about all the players, Logs? I mean,
the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, that's their goal. I mean, they're not going to come out and talk about it, because when you come out and you talk about it, it's all talk. You know, players don't want to, I guess you could say, jinx themselves or put it out there. The number one goal every year, Robert, win the division. And then after that, get a home field playoff game. And then after that, get to the Super Bowl. By no means is this organization going into 2011 saying, you know what, we just want to get a little better. Yeah, you know, we just want to get a little better than last year.
But there is also a process that you go through. And I interrupted you, Jeff, but there's a process that you go through. If you're building toward the Super Bowl, in a realistic way that means you don't always go after every free agent. You don't always go after every big name. You build a roster that over the course of time you believe will get you there, and not by there meaning the playoffs, a large percentage of time over a few years. You stay injury-free, and you get there some of those years. That's the way you have to build it if you're the front office. You can't throw money at every roster spot,
it's
every
offseason.
Never off
been proven to work.
Right, with the idea of this is the year, this is the year, this is the year. It's just not the way that it's done.
No, because the last time this franchise thought it was the year, they went and spent all that money on Drayton Florence and Jared Porter, and guess what happened there?
5-11.
It is a tried-and-true formula for setting the franchise back years. And it's not just this franchise. Most franchises that have tried it that way have failed and set themselves back, and they're looking at major rebuilding in the future.
If you're going to do it right, you have to model your franchise off of what the New England Patriots have done, and I would say what the Pittsburgh Steelers have done. To me, those are the class models in the NFL. Some of the other teams, Indianapolis, New Orleans, to me, you take the quarterback out of the equation, they're not very good. But you look at New England and you look at Pittsburgh, who have had to play without their quarterback, and what have they done? They've performed very well. Those are the models.
And the formula is you can do it without the great quarterback. It's just really, really hard. The best formula is to get that quarterback in place.
Well, who was the last great quarterback to win a Super Bowl? Or, pardon me, not so great quarterback.
Well, you know, when I say do it, I mean you can build a contender.
Right.
I'd argue that Baltimore has been a contender the last few years without what I would call a great quarterback. It can be done. You can get around there. But in order to be one of those dynastic franchises you talked about, and Jeff just named four of them.
Throw the Packers in there, too.
You've got to have that guy in place. And then you build everything else around it, and you ride that out as long as that guy's there.
I mean, if you think about the model franchise, New England, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, is there another one?
Well, I mean, those are the big ones.
I mean, Philadelphia somewhat.
But they haven't won the Super Bowl.
But they haven't done it.
Giants won a Super Bowl. They're not dynastic by any stretch of the imagination.
But,
right,
I mean,
now.
Pittsburgh and New England. And I think you could put Green Bay in there now
with Aaron Rodgers.
That year in and year out, they're competing at a high level, and have an opportunity every year for a Super Bowl. Those are the franchises that you want to be like, and that's the approach that General Manager Gene Smith has taken. Build this thing through the draft, and he's got a model, and he's sticking to it.
355-NFL 1-800-355-6351. Adam is at the beach. Adam, what's going on?
Not much, guys. How you doing tonight?
Good.
Good. I wanted to get back to the Gerard Gabbert saga. You know, I'm in favor of starting the Gabbert era, and my reason is basically that Gerard is up and down. It is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately league, and when you look at it from that perspective, what Gerard has done for us lately has been up and down, and I just don't want to go through that again, and I feel like if we're an 8-8 football team, or 9-7 with Gerard, I feel like we could probably be the same thing with Gabbert, and we could go ahead and get it out of the way. To be fair to Gerard, the next time you get the number one receiver, as you guys have always said, it'll be the first time he's ever had one. But I just feel like we could get the bumps out, and we could build for the future and go with it. Not to mention with the ticket sales, I don't think anybody's overly excited about Gerard anymore. I think that if you named Gabbert the starter and made that bold move, it might help in that department as well. But I just think it's kind of the same old with Gerard. It just seems like 07 was forever ago.
It's not same old with this football team this year. Just watch the defense.
They have a chance. They're a better defense. And if Maurice can stay healthy and if Rashad isn't hurt too bad, do we know anything about Rashad's knee? I mean, they don't have to have an injury report till next week. But if you go back to 07, when they were able to make their run, Fred and Maurice combined for 150 yards rushing per game. That's got to be the formula.
You don't, you know, considering he's been here a month, there is a school of thought that you don't necessarily want to throw him out there before he's ready. I don't think he's the kind of kid who loses confidence, but that's always a factor. You know, again, I don't think there is a tried true template. You've got to look at each situation differently. And if right now they think, maybe they think Blaine is, you know, 2 weeks away or a month away, but you just want to make sure you're handling it the right way. and you got to do the best you can with it.
355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. Do you want to go from quarterbacks to blackouts? Or should we save that for after the
break? No, go to Eric. Let's wide receivers.
All right, Eric's in Virginia Beach. What's going on tonight, Eric?
Hey, nothing. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Ryan, buddy, I had no problem with what you said last night on the radio.
It's
if anything,
opinion.
I tip my hat off to you for having the guts to say what a lot of people were thinking. So I don't know what that other guy was on, but he needs to get off of it.
Well, I'll say this for him. He calls all the time. He's welcome to call.
that might be the case. But anyway, everybody seems to have this notion that we're not going to be going anywhere, or we're just not going to amount to anything unless we go out and get the big-name receiver guy. And, you know, you guys kind of talked about it a minute ago, and a caller called in earlier. You look at the Packers and the Patriots. None of those guys were big names until they were brought in. You know, the Packers haven't – I don't think none of their receivers were a number one draft pick. The Patriots, Wes Welker, they hip-pocketed. Deion Branch, I think they stole from the Seahawks. And, you know, you look at them now. Now they're big-name guys, but they weren't like that when they got brought in. So – you know, like you said, give it time. You know, you got Mike Thomas and Cecil Shorts. If these guys keep progressing like we think that they will, and hopefully they will, I mean, they can really do some things for us. So I don't think people should really get down on that.
No, I think you're right on the money, except for Brian's comment there that Kevin is welcome to call back. Kevin, if you're going to have an opinion that is absolute lie, then please don't call back.
Yeah, throwing out false accusations there. So-called
my God.
Quotes that were never even said.
Yeah,
you call me a lot of things, but don't call me. Don't put words out there that I said something and I didn't. I don't
exactly.
like that.
Exactly.
So you're not welcome to call this show again, Kevin.
Well, the last thing I want to just kind of get your thoughts on when you guys were talking about the final roster is, where do you guys see Scotty McGee kind of playing out? Do you see him maybe making the 53? I know he didn't play in much last year. They probably want to, you know, give him a little bit of a look since he was a draft pick. But, you know, has he shown you guys anything to really think he's deserving of the 53?
Eric, let me ask you this question. And I've said this before in the preseason games. If you're going to make it as only returner, you've got to be special. The question
exactly.
for you is, have you seen Scotty look special?
I have not.
There you go.
I just didn't think if since he was a draft pick, he didn't play last year, if they were going to kind of maybe – you know, if he stays healthy this year, just see if he would do anything, you know, throughout the year, maybe cut him at the end. But
Tyquan,
you know,
Underwood
like said,
is a draft pick. I mean, you're at the point now where draft picks are going to get cut. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Appreciate the
That's
phone
true.
Call. We've got to run.
Thank
We've got
you
guys. News
Thank
here
you.
At the bottom of the hour on News Talk WOKV. All right, here we go. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. If you'd like to join us on the program this evening.
A lot of people are calling me tonight.
What's that?
You know, a lot of people are calling me tonight. I mean, way more people are calling me tonight than tweeting you guys.
I didn't even miss. I don't know. I got about five. Well, yeah, so we haven't. Now, we have it. In its defense, we have not prompted the Twitter thing. At John Osher, folks. Let's go to Lee in Ponte Vedra, who's been holding the longest. Hello, Lee. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Jeff, again, a call for you. With the change in the kickoff rules, if you're the chess master sitting on the sideline and calling it, how would you play it now?
How would I play it if I were kicking off?
Yes, sir.
I kick it out of the back of the end zone every time.
Would you? Okay.
Yep.
Then you put them at the 20.
Yep.
Or, you know, do you hang it and try to pin them inside the 20?
Nope. I'd take all the guesswork out of it. You know, it would be out of the back of the end zone. Let them start on the 20. If you look at the statistics over the years, the percentage of scoring when a team starts at the 20 is extremely low. Why gamble? You know what I mean?
What is it, about 19% of the time?
Yeah,
you score?
Something like that. It's really, really low, Lee.
Yeah, it's just one third of the game, sort of. It's just how do you play it? And thank you for your answer. And I wonder, you know, if you're on the special teams on kickoff coverage, if you're booting it out of the end zone, which I think our great kicker Scobie can do, is there a let up?
What do you mean, is there a let up? As far as the guys running down the field?
Yes, sir.
No, there better not be, you know, because the kicker will not hit it perfectly every time. And you know, we had to call from Eric who was asking him. Was it Eric that was asking about Scotty McGee?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Here's another reason why a returner doesn't have value, Lee, in keeping a roster spot for a guy who is just a returner. I you know, the new kickoff rules to me just, I mean, boy, it really devalues a lot of guys and to me makes the game less interesting. I wanted to see Deji Kareem handle the kickoff returns this year because he's a guy that can go. I wanted to see teams get pinned inside the 20 because we have two Pro Bowl special teams players that live in Jacksonville. Obviously, Montel and Kasim. This football team has very good special teams, and I think, to me, it really makes teams like the Colts, who have not been very good on special teams, it gives them a break.
Oh, it absolutely does. And I was wrong. I did not think it would this drastically change kickoffs, but it's been a major change. And
so here's the question:
not for the better.
How much further does it go? Do they eliminate the kickoff at some point in the future, or do they go back to the 30-yard line to bring it back into the game?
My guess is it's going to go back to the 30 at some point.
Just not this season.
Yeah. No.
And they've done that before. I mean, they've put in rules that haven't worked. And, you know, as long as you go back to it and make it right, you know, you're not going to make a perfect rule change every year.
Appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL-1. Tim is next in St. Augustine. Hello, Tim.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I got a question for Brian, since he's been around the longest as a pure member. Well, not
broadcasting
from a media standpoint, should I say? So, really, what is your take on the evolution of Jack's relationship with the media since day one? I remember when he first got here, it was a little one could say short, cranky, vague. How do you feel like he's evolved from that standpoint?
Well, I got to be honest. I don't spend a lot of time. I get Jack to myself on Tuesday nights. I'm with him from 6 to 7, and then we go shoot his film room from 7 to 7:30, and then I've got him for 45 minutes. I don't spend much time down in the radio, or pardon me, in the press conferences with him. So, you know, it started rough. He's worked on it. He's tried to create it. It's not like it's the most important thing to him. What's your take coming from Indianapolis?
Well, you know, I've covered, five NFL coaches. I covered Coughlin. I covered Jim Moore. I covered Tony Dungy, Jim Caldwell, and now Jack. I don't think Jack's as good with the media as maybe Tony was. I think Tony's probably one of the best with the media that's ever been, though. I mean, I've told some of our media here that, Jack's a lot better with this media group than, say, Jim Caldwell is in Indianapolis. Jim Caldwell is a terrific man, but he is a boring, boring guy to cover by design. And you never get a story out of a Jim Caldwell press conference.
You know, I'll say this. I think that Jack tries to be boring so that he doesn't answer questions and give stuff away, but he can't help it because it's not his personality.
Yeah, but for the most part with Jack, when you go to a press conference and you ask him a question, he's going to, you know, most of the time try to give you a pretty decent answer. Not, you know, he's not always going to give away the farm on it, but he's not supposed to. I really haven't seen in 6 months being here Jack be real bad with the media. You know, I don't.
He'll have his moments this season.
Yeah, he'll come in and admit it too. Giving you a story every day. But for the most part, you know, from my perspective, I haven't seen him.
Just curious.
It'd be bad, you know, with the media. But
why the question, Tim? I mean, have you encountered it, or are you looking for more information?
No. I think I've seen him improve, actually, throughout the years. And, I don't know if that's just a matter of, having the exposure and being in the spotlight and evolving in that position, or if it was a conscious effort or maybe something that came down from Mr. Weaver, just trying to really kind of get your opinion on it, if it's something that you all have noticed.
The thing that I notice is him and Vito are kind of holding hands every now and again. I'm just kidding.
That's one I know is not. That's what I know. But, you know, Vito challenges him all the time.
Sure.
And there are times when Jack will come down here and he'll be pulling his hair out about it. But then there's times where I'll say to him, so how's it going? And he'll go, no, I've got it. I understand it. I get it. You know, so he's like anybody. He kind of goes up and down with it. But his stated goal, I think, is to be kind of nonchalant. Not, that's the wrong term. You know, even-keeled, rather monotonous about it so that he doesn't create the story. Just my take on it, though. Appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. We'll take a break. Come back one more segment. Jaguars This Week on News Talk WOKV. Depend on it. All right, welcome back. One more segment. A little more than 10 minutes left in the show. If you'd like to chat with John or Jeff or Joe, 355-NFL-1. 800-355-6351. Mike is in Orange Park. Mike, the floor is yours.
Yes, I just wanted to – I've heard a lot of people calling in about Blaine Gabbert and wanting to get him out there real fast. I just – as a 16-year Buccaneer fan, I want to warn the Jaguar fans, don't push your quarterback, rookie quarterback out too fast. I've seen many, many rookie quarterbacks get trashed by being put out too early at Tampa, and that is not a mistake that the Jaguars need to make right now.
So who did Tampa throw out there that that they ruined?
Well, one of the ones that we mentioned earlier, I know it was mentioned earlier, Trent Dilfer made a Super Bowl attempt. I know he's not considered a top echelon, but he was a good quarterback, and I have no doubt that what happened to him while he was in Tampa, the hits he took and the lack of allowing him to grow, shortened that career, and really, I honestly think, stopped him from being a better quarterback potentially.
You understand, I mean, Trent Dilfer is, and I'm not trying to be argumentative here, the big thing here is that Blaine's only been here for a month, right? I mean, even I get that, I know it. But when you look at the quarterbacks who've started as rookies in this game, there are a lot of them that have done very, very well, and it is situation to situation. It depends. I mean, Blaine Gabbert's not going to go out there and fall apart like 98, the second pick.
Ryan Lee.
Yeah, I mean, it's a completely different person, completely different structure. It's case by case, quarterback by quarterback, you have to make that decision. You know, Sam Bradford last year got his brains beat in, but he still led that team to a 7-9 record and was playing very well when the season ended. So that didn't ruin him. Now he had the offseason, and that's the great equalizer in what I said and what Jeff and John are espousing. And, of course, it makes sense. But I don't think that you can say throwing a rookie quarterback out there as a blanket statement, Mike, necessarily ruins them. I wish he was still there. Because, you know, Josh Freeman went in, what, 6, 7, 8 games left in that season?
Right.
And look,
right,
what he's look what he's become. But that's it's all conjecture because it's not going to happen. So let's grab Craig, who joins us from Arlington next. Hello, Craig. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Hey, just a quick question. I keep hearing that one of the strengths is going to be the offensive line this year, and frankly, I think that if the offensive and defensive lines play well, it's going to bode real well for the Jags. If not, you know, then they're in trouble. And I just, I know it's preseason, but just have not been real impressed, at least with the on the running side of the game, on the with the offensive line.
They were better last week, weren't they, Lux?
I thought they took a big step up last week. I think Will Rackley took a huge step forward. Eugene Monroe, for the most part, I thought was very good. You still got the question mark with Evan. But, you know, I think you're right there, Craig, in that, I mean, as always, I mean, your team is going to go how the big guys go, and in particular this team, because it is based on the running game on offense, and defensively the biggest deficiency they had was the ability to pressure opposing quarterbacks, and in particular, to use that term again, in this division. So we'll find out. I think the offensive line is going to be better. And I'm going to be very excited to see Evan Britton get back and to see how he plays when he does get back.
And they started slow last year, did they not, the offensive line? I mean, so they had to come together a little bit more easily.
You could go back and look at this team in the preseason for the last number of years and say, boy, that offensive line really didn't run the football very well in the preseason.
Does anybody run the football in the preseason?
They don't. That's not their point of emphasis.
Right.
I mean, they really view the preseason as a time to really work on the passing game. They believe that they're going to be a dominant running team. Last year we were thinking the same thing. They didn't run the ball well in the preseason. Maurice had how many carries for how many yards? Six for two?
Yeah. Right.
Is that right?
Yep, yeah. Six carries. I don't know if it was two or minus two.
it was either one of those is not good.
And we were thinking there's no way that they're going to be able to run the football this year. And what did they do? Third in the league.
Here's the only concern that I have is that Maurice is coming off knee surgery, and I think we all would agree that they're going to have to at least split up some of those carries. And now Rashad Jennings' knee injury makes me wonder how they're going to do that and how you manage him all season long, Logs.
How many touches?
How much do you throw on the ball? That's a big deal.
You were going to manage it with Rashad Jennings, and hopefully the knee is not bad enough that's going to keep him out for an extended period of time. But if he is going to be out for a little while, then one of these other guys has got to step up.
I don't worry much about young runners running the ball. Most guys in this league can run fine. Young runners usually struggle in the other areas, and that's where you'd be concerned.
Blitz pickup.
Right, well, and catching all the other things. There's guys on the street who can run the ball in the NFL, but the hard part is playing running back and doing all the other things.
Now, you can still give Maurice a break to cut his reps down without having to hand it off to somebody else. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can be the controlled passing game. It can be the screens, the quick screens to the outside, the tight end screens, the running back screen to Deji. So there's other ways to limit Maurice's reps without having to have another runner on the field. So I think this is going to be a very challenging year for Dirk Koetter. Trying to find a happy medium with Maurice Jones-Drew and not knowing for sure exactly what he can take. Can he take exactly what he's done in the past, carrying the ball 350 times? To me, this is a tremendous challenge for Dirk Koetter, and he's a good football coach. He's going to do well with it, but it is a challenge.
I'm just wondering who you'd like to see with the ball if it's not Rashad. You like Brock Bowling?
As a runner?
Yeah, we're talking, four or five carries a game max.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, to me – I mean, obviously, Rashad would be the first choice, but I think Deji can do certain things, and I think the play calling will really play to his strengths. You're not going to run Deji up the middle. You're going to utilize what he does well, and that's speed. And so, Deji is, to me, the guy that when he touches the ball, he could go. Brock Bowling and Montel are guys that you're not going to go, oh, boy, hold your breath. He's got the ball in his hands. No. Deji's the only one that you can say that about once you get past Maurice and Rashad.
And for a game or two, a guy like Deji can get it. For a game or two, a reserve running back can get it done. Over the course of time, it's harder. But for a game or two, a reserve running back can come in and be very, very productive.
Well, and Jack has said himself on his show on Tuesday nights that he didn't manage him very well towards the end of last year. Early in the year, because young team and felt they were, they had lots of legs and let it go, and he wanted to be careful with Maurice this year. So something that obviously has to be watched. Kickoff 7:30 tomorrow night. Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show starts at 4:30. Seth's pregame show at 6:30, and then the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the Southern Ford Dealer scoreboard show to follow in the 2 or 3 minutes we have left besides quarterback. Who else are you looking at tomorrow night?
Well, it's not. It's probably not going to be a roster spot position, but I want to see Benz Newsom or the third wide receiver Inman. Which one of those guys kind of stands out? I mean, they've all looked good in practice. They've had their moments in the preseason game. It'll be interesting to see which one of those guys sticks in the practice squad or maybe sneaks into a roster spot.
I know we're not going to see him for very long, the starters, but I want to see David Garrard get it all kind of hammered out. I want to see a better performance out of David. To me, it's the most important position on the field. He was kind of iffy, I thought, last week in Buffalo. I wanted to see him show us he's ready to roll.
If he has a good series and gets down the field, does he come out? Does Maurice come out after one series?
Depends on the number of plays.
All right. So you're saying 10 to 12 snaps probably for some of these guys?
10 to 15, I would think, for a lot of these guys. And then you'll see some changes.
What about Aaron Campman? Thoughts on how much he plays?
10 snaps, maybe 12 snaps, somewhere in that range. And I don't know what type of environment he's going to get him in. Could he be out there just as a kind of a rusher? Will he play 10, 12 plays, 15 plays straight? You don't know. But, I haven't seen him in a couple weeks. Nobody has.
What are you looking for from him that we didn't see? Okay, maybe you're saying on the practice field.
Leg strength.
We don't quite see it yet.
Knee bend with power. And that was kind of something that wasn't quite there right. early in training camp when it was open. Got to see some of that from him.
All right, folks. Just about done here. Don't forget, if you have a smartphone, download the Jaguars app. It is free. You can listen to the broadcast from your seat. You can check John Osher's live in-game blog from your phone. And, of course, you'll see the Jaguars roster, and they'll put the opponent's roster up there with stats and the entire nine yards. So it's a great game day tool. The Jaguars app is free in your smartphone's marketplace. And we appreciate you joining us for Jaguars this week. Tomorrow night, Jaguars wrap up the preseason, and then, of course, the Tennessee Titans roll in here a week from Sunday. Jaguars have to have the roster reduced by 27 players on Saturday. Right,
I believe that's Saturday at 6 o'clock p.m. is when they have to be down to 53.
Yep,
and then they have what? Start signing the practice squad?
Yeah, and I don't know at what point they're allowed to sign the practice squad. I think that's the first part of the week.
Yeah, it kind of,
because it's not right away. I know that.
Right.
So, because they want other teams to give to have them time to look at other people's cuts, you know, and maybe do some moving around roster-wise. So we'll see.
They'll know, but it won't be announced.
No.
All right, guys, thanks so much. Joe, we appreciate it. Have a great night, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow night.